Welcome to Fashco Podcast. I'm Colton Cruz.
Brianna Marshall.
Wyatt Garland.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about and analyze anime.
And punch things with our mouths.
Today's topic, isekai.
That's right. So we're talking about the genre that is generally a person from what we understand to be the real world is transported to a fantasy world, typically inexplicably, and
right.
They're stuck there forever.
The main point of the plot technique is it's not important how they got there. Their juxtaposition is really what the series is highlighting.
Yeah.
Typically,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it plays on that, but, like, yeah, we were saying that it's becoming a really common genre.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you think about, so, like, you have ReZero, which came out, what, a year or 2 years
ago?
Two years ago. And I would say, to us, that kind of typifies kind of the center or the core of this genre.
And then even Sword Art Online.
Yeah,
like,
that's
right.
Earlier.
So, like,
yeah.
I would say Sword Art Online is kind of like the father of that, but it's not 100%
right,
the genre.
Right.
So Sword Art Online came out in, what, like 2014, 15,
yeah.
16, something like that?
A couple years ago.
So for a genre that is 4 years old, let's say, by, like, the oldest example, it is exploding in popularity and in iterations.
Yes.
And that's the big thing we'll talk about is all the different shows that, like, are isekai, but how they've really kind of, like, turned it on its head, even though it's a genre that has been around so short of a time.
The explosive evolution, I feel, is getting really exciting just because there's so much to work off of.
You know,
one of the cardinal creative rules is the worst thing you can tell an artist to do is anything they want.
Yeah.
Because it's just oh my god, you know, you gotta have something to bounce off of.
Yeah. Yeah. Working within limits lets you know your boundaries,
exactly.
Your spectrum.
And then you can just flex that juxtaposition as much as you can. And isekai just started to get a lot of really creative, explosive ideas this season, last season, and a lot of just the last couple of years, we've gotten a lot of good ones. ReZero, we'll talk about that one first, because like you said, that really was...
It's kind of the heart, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, typified it. And it's really exciting because in standard isekai fashion, he is transported immediately to a fantasy world.
Yep. Yeah, he walks outside of a convenience store, if you're not familiar, you're kind of rusty on it. Walks out of a convenience store and then kind of just phases into a fantasy world.
He still has, like,
his bag of rum.
Yeah, it's rum, yeah, yeah. And he's a douchebag. He's just kind of, like, trashy. And he assumes that he's in a fantasy world that operates by some of his video game standards.
Exactly. Like, in this genre, people are immediately aware that they're,
like,
I'm a normal person who is, like, they're completely aware that they're a normal person that was transferred to a fantasy world. Mm-hmm. And he immediately tries to, like, how can I manipulate the rules?
Yeah.
Well, he assumes that he is immediately an expert. It's a power trip. The biggest thing about the genre is it always comes as at least an internal power trip, saying, like, oh, I mean, I guess I'm going to meet elves and dwarfs. You know, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's the easiest stone throw in the world for you as a viewer to be like, oh, he's just like me, and he got transported to a fantasy world. I've been dreaming about this my whole life.
Exactly. And you get to skip all that crap where it's, you know, you have to sit there and watch the character also be impressed by a dragon. You're like, okay, it's not even like a really good dragon, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is good because you fast forward. So it cuts so much fat from the standard concept, and it skips right forward to something that we can really digest. And I think that's really one of the strengths of Sword Art Online, is because ReZero does it too, and a lot of the isekai do, where the fantasy world that they seem to go to is very akin to a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and this was something I was going to bring up. Like, we're at this moment in time in anime specifically, we are in, like, a fantasy renaissance of, like, you know, you've got things like Goblin Slayer, and then just all of these isekai, and then, like,
Overlord, Konosuba,
like,
Drifters,
all of these things are really into fantasy, and, like, we as a American and Western audience, I think typically we think more source material. We think sword
Tolkien.
And sorcery, like Tolkien, Dungeons and Dragons, as our fantasy experience. And even like just more Knights of the Round Table, like we have that kind of English
mythology,
with us.
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
But in Japan, a lot of their experience with that is experienced through JRPGs, exactly. So their understanding of how fantasy world works, I think, is just much closer natively to video games for them than it is us, you know, like roll, like dice roll, like in Goblin Slayer, you can point it out.
In Goblin Slayer, they do use dice rolls, and that's why it's not this genre. I feel like it's separated. Mm. And one of the cardinal facts of isekai with the transfer to a new world, and the person having sort of this knowledge, I think that connects the video game community very strongly.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, like in your standard fantasy, the character is forced to learn the new rules that are presented by this world. Isekai skips so much and relates to so many people by simply donning this sort of reality shift concept of, oh, it's a video game.
There are levels. Like,
exactly.
Even just that simple concept, like, there's level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, 100 magic.
And, I mean, specifically, ReZero doesn't even... ReZero's world isn't too specifically video game-centric. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, there are things that you'd find in a standard JRPG, but there aren't, like... stats in the same way as other ones
not
have.
For him. So like that's one of the things in ReZero they play with immediately is they're like, he's in this fantasy world, he thinks, oh, I must be a main character, and they're like, you are not.
Yeah.
So he doesn't
wrecked.
Gain any kind of like powers. He just kind of like observes other people with classes, which is a very in D&D and video game thing. They have classes
so
and
he has,
magic that way.
Yeah, he has his perceptions, but his sort of video game power is that he can live as many lives
right.
as he has
to. Restarting every time, starting over from
zero.
So
that's the video game concept. It almost lends itself to this Dark Souls approach.
And that is
again, one of the best parts about it, because it doesn't have to be a video game. It doesn't have to. There are a couple of these that sort of standardly cling to the video game format very strongly and to good effect, but ReZero is very good about just the person experiencing this is relatable through video game concept.
Right, because it's a role-playing game.
Exactly.
And that just happens to be, again, the more popular form of, I think, role-playing games in Japan.
And even, that's the thing, that's why they're so popular in Japan and even in the West here, Isekai, just because video games. Like, they're becoming way more...
And we talked about Sword Art Online being the father. Sword Art Online, part of what makes it so appealing is, so the basic concept, if you're rusty on that too... is that they all put on super advanced VR headsets, and they just live in the game, basically.
Yeah.
And they get trapped there, that's kind of the plot.
Yeah, really relatable.
Yeah, but like that seems almost possible today, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The way VR and technology is, that seems like, oh, that is very believable that this could exist someday in my even lifetime.
Yeah.
And one of the things that distances it, however, from like what Isekai has become now is the tension. It has, the main tension of it is to return to the fantasy world, right?
Yeah, so like,
to the real world.
As like a precursor, it has like, yeah, they're trying to fight their way out of the real, out of that. They understand there is a real world they want to return to.
Yeah, and their lives are on the line.
Yeah, their lives are on the line. And a lot of other isekai, it's kind of like either they died and like, were reincarnated into this world or something else has happened.
The regular world is not important to the plot.
Right.
Where in Sword Art Online, it is the plot. It is the most crucial concept.
And if just focusing on Sword Art Online with isekai, I mean, Sword Art Online has had, what, like 9 iterations now, too?
Yeah.
Like,
at this point,
this idea is popular. I mean, they went back and they did a ton of different iterations of the same idea with Sword Art Online specifically. Only.
Right. And that's definitely a cash grab concept. I mean, there's some good stuff in there, but...
Yeah, but
you know.
The same kind of thing, though. I mean, there is a little bit of that, again, it being Japanese RPG versus kind of like a more, you know, Western sword and sorcery. We had, like, friends that we tried to watch Sword Online with who were immediately like, tentacles, can't, like,
right,
can't
the,
deal with
the
that.
Japanese...
The moe, like, there is a lot of Japanese anime, like, in these isekai, no matter where they're coming from.
However, Sword Art is definitely the most bland in its straight-up relationship to a video game. As far as all the other isekai, maybe Overlord, but most of them are not as tightly bound to the video game concept as Sword Art Online. Even at the theme park that I work at in Florida, I even drew a little boy from Sword Art Online. He was like, oh, and I'm like, you're 9. How do you...
be Kirito,
like,
of course.
Exactly. And I'm like, you want your girlfriend there too, right? He says yes to the castle flying up there. But, yeah, and that just speaks to how, oh, no, someone who doesn't have an anime background.
Popularity, relatability to a Western audience. I mean,
absolutely.
We're talking about how kind of, like, it's become popular in Japan and then, like, marketed over here, but, like, it's also incredibly popular over here.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, as much as JRPGs are a thing, I mean, World of Warcraft.
Absolutely.
Didn't exist 20 years ago. Like, it just didn't. Like,
yeah, so it's becoming more homogenous to the concept of a different reality, something that you put yourself into. I mean, that sounds obvious, but when you're considering a story-building mechanic that is becoming more popular, it is a direct reaction to that. And
well,
I think
the thing, like, with me, I think the reason why I got so invested into it is because I love playing RPGs, especially JRPGs.
Right.
So, like, with a lot of the younger people, they just basically put their... they put themselves in the character's shoes and they're like, okay, what do I do? They kind of like see how does the character play all of this out.
Yeah.
Like a video game.
And exactly. So it's
right,
more...
The plot is their choices, really specifically.
Yeah.
So, and then they can think of how they would have... Because they have real-world experiences. It's like, oh, no, that's like when I did the video game character
quests
in that one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or crafting, like, all
that's,
of that stuff is, like,
that's when, it's just like when I played Monster Hunter.
There it is.
Of course, Monster Hunter.
Okay, let's move on. One of the best parts about this genre is that now there are so many concepts that are parroting or pushing it already so early. And a couple of those... something directly related to ReZero is Konosuba, which is a parody.
Right, yeah, I'm unfamiliar with this, but you guys have watched
it. Oh, my God.
It's so funny.
It is straight on, because it is unabashed. I mean, the main character has a tracksuit on as
That's
well.
That's hilarious.
Like, he's accompanied to a female.
What, which is what ReZero, he comes in his tracksuit.
Exactly, and it's his look, and then he just comes in like, meh. And he is of course, while the protagonist of ReZero is, you know, kind of trashy, Kaneda in I don't know what's his name in Konosuba. Anyway, he is just awful. He's
right, unapologetically.
Yeah, I would describe him as a douchebag.
No, he's 100%.
Well, it's interesting because in ReZero, I mean, his problem is he has a hero complex. He's like, no, I should be able to be a goddamn hero of this video game that I've been dropped into, and I can't, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, but he learns. Yeah, however, Konosuba is a parody of that concept.
Well, it's just like with him which I find so interesting. Like, it is a parody of ReZero, but with ReZero, he just goes into the world. With Konosuba, he dies, and he's like, I'm here now.
He abandons
it. I'm the hero.
Yeah, there's even
give me love.
Yeah, there's even a couple times where there's talking of him going back to the real world or some concept, but he definitely abandons that for the new world that he's found. And
because he's accompanied three girls.
Exactly. He's got his harem, but the best part about his harem is they all... hate him / hate each other.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real love triangles. It's just, they're all ridiculously poor, like, for the better part of the series.
Yeah.
And they're fighting and they're scrapping. It's just, it has that hilarious realism to it where it is just the cut and dry reaction as opposed to,
ReZero,
drama. Yeah, where it's drama, and the other ones...
Or, like Overlord kind of goes that opposite direction,
Overlord
right?
So is the opposite.
That one, its start is also a little different. He... is a person, we don't even see him in the real world,
I don't think.
But like,
and I think that helps a lot.
We understand him to be basically someone who's like on the WoW server as it's being shut down. He's like, what is it? And then it being shut down transports him and all of the NPCs he and his friends have created to another fantasy world where he is then exploring how that world compares to like his magic world.
It's Isekai Inception.
There's like, it's a lot. It's a lot of things going on at once.
But the driving factor is... he feels completely, on several levels, removed from his humanity.
Right, which is an interesting... another interesting thing about this is he is not himself transported to a fantasy world. He is his character, who is a lich, transported to this character. So he's role-playing in the isekai already, in a different way than we've seen any other character. Like, he's not a normal person in the world. He's a normal person pretending to be an evil lich, in a world that he does not belong already. Again, like you said, isekaiception.
It's really deep, but the best part is that double layer of separation. I mean, we never see the Overlord's human characteristics.
Correct, yeah.
And he starts questioning himself. You know, he has that classic, like, oh, I don't want them to find out that I'm not actually... you know, a dom.
Yeah,
like,
that is really cool. Where he's like, he's basically balancing, like, where he's like, no, I'm gonna play this character that I've played, but then he like goes back and he still has his like human thoughts. But,
And then
how does this work
exactly?
out?
Exactly, and he's getting deeper and deeper, and that's the exciting part because you know, as he realizes his real strength in comparison to this world, he's getting more and more rash. I mean, this isn't the story of a good person. This is the story of a person who. Basically has free reign to do whatever they want.
Yeah, it's a sandbox, right?
God,
exactly.
This reminds me so much of How Not to Summon a Demon Lord.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
That.
Okay. How Not to Summon a Demon Lord, exactly.
Okay, so basically it's kind of the same concept of Overlord, where it's like there's this one guy playing, but then he's transported into this this fantasy world, but he still kind of like balances. He's like, oh, I'm still me as a human, as a player, but then he has to play and kind of pretend like he's this demon lord, something like that.
He is Diablo. I mean, I almost think it might be poking fun at Diablo like a little bit. He's got the horns and everything. I mean, it is an Ichi front and center, unabashedly, but it's a decent show. And they, hey man, those titties play for some nice animation.
Those tickle bitties.
It works out well, but his whole deal is he's about as powerful as, say, like, Overlord is in comparison to the world he's in. He's pretty strong, but at the same time, he doesn't have, like, an army. Like, he doesn't have a structure.
Okay. Oh, he has an army, all right.
Well, he's gaining his harem, as is particular for that genre, but he's doing it solo, like, you know, and he's approaching it in
which
really,
I imagine,
like,
makes the gags kind of more confined, right? Oh, yeah. Like, you're focused on a smaller group of characters, exactly. So there's not as much intrigue.
Yeah, one of my favorite things he specifically does is he's too powerful to use his base weapon that he brought with him. So he has to just basically get a weapon that he can wield his power with, but that is a low enough level that it won't kill people. Like, but the only thing that he can, that fits that description is, like, this absurdly giant scythe. He's like, yeah, this is the weakest thing I can do. It's like, obviously. And then he'll, like, you know, like, yeah, I won't kill someone with this. Awesome. So he is very hands-on figuring out things. And it's not necessarily a hero complex that he's struggling with.
Right, because he's a demon, like, self-admitted demon lord.
Right, he's a self-admitted demon lord, but he is a good person. He's not doing things that are wrong, because him as a person wouldn't do bad things.
Right.
He just has that
persona he has to live out.
Yeah, because...
That's the same thing they kind of do in Overlord, where they have NPCs that are obviously all these evil demons, too, but they make the joke, it's like, yeah, but the succubus queen, like, has never done anything sexual because she was in a video game and that wasn't, like, the video game.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a complete, you know, it's hilarious.
Exactly. And how the actual people who made the characters were pretty messed
up. Right,
yeah.
And then talking about, like, you know, them being, like, called, like, Touch Me-san or something. Like, they're stupid gamer tags, being just trash.
It's pretty funny. And thinking about how that affects everything. One that's a little bit more serious, I think, is Drifters, for sure.
Yeah, so Drifters is definitely another kind of new take on the concept where it's...
That came out 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the manga, even longer.
Yeah. Oh my god.
He was a forerunner.
So it's, it's the artist behind
Hellsing,
if you don't know. So it's a beautifully drawn manga and animated show that's lines
really
are nice
good.
And thick and sexy.
First season was not finished.
Well, they didn't even finish this first
Yeah, the
season.
Manga's
yeah.
not even finished
well,
either.
It was a stab, and I think... One of the reasons for its failure is it lacks that relatability. I think what they were leaning on a little bit too heavily is basically the concept, if you're not too familiar with it, a refresher, is that there's a war going on in a fantasy world, and these two sides, basically light and dark, are bringing in drifters, heroes from other times.
But, like, they are historically real people that exist in our reality.
Exactly.
And their deaths, they were transported to this fantasy world, and obviously some liberties are taken.
Exactly. And there are definitely some interesting things. But I think one of the main flaws of it is they kind of heavily relied on classical Japanese historical figures. Like, the main three squad, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, obviously, and they have an interesting perspective, but what it lacks... is that user perspective. I mean, you need a normal person.
All of these characters are larger than life and are kind of immediately, like, down to pound. Like, they're, like, they're in there to shred up.
It's Joan of Arc bathing in the baptism of her own death and, like, can use fire and shit.
Yeah, like, the samurai is immediately down to, like, yeah, you guys don't just, like, to the fantasy world they are in, they are fantasy characters.
Exactly.
Like, it's kind of reversed inside out and then also turned on its head.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's a shame they're not going to do more on it, but it's I think, again, the reason that it didn't get fleshed out more is specifically because it didn't have that fantasy backing.
It's,
that
it doesn't have that quite interest level. You have to be really kind of tied to these historical fantasy characters.
Exactly.
Which is a quick burn, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, like, so we've named a couple of shows now. Like, I hope that gives everybody kind of a perspective of, like, the different directions that isekai has gone and can go.
But really, the newest one that has come out. This is really what got me thinking about talking about this whole genre and really started thinking about it and investigating it. It's that one time I got reincarnated by a slime.
It's really good.
As a slime. And it's hilarious because it is the most self-aware and sort of structured isekai that I've personally seen. what it's doing is setting up... You know how you can judge an anime by its OP pretty well?
Right,
yeah.
This definitely has the bicycle thief phenomenon where the opening... It's a really kind of simple, like, I mean, we're, what, 5 episodes in now?
Yeah, yes. About 5.
They've all been really simple, but the opening is making a lot of promises to us that we're excited to see
And it seems to be developing. It's definitely got sort of the tones of groundwork, right? It's laying things. It's developing relationships. The characters are influencing everything. If you haven't seen it, the main premise is basically a regular, you know, 30-year-old virgin gets stabbed and, like...
You're run-of-the-mill 30-year-old virgin.
Just gets stabbed in the middle of, like...
Everyday.
Central
Yeah.
And then gets reincarnated...
As a slime. As a slime monster. Yeah. A low-level monster.
But I think the one cool thing about that is, like, he just doesn't get transported into the fantasy world. He's like goes through like a whole like
character.
Yeah, like character selection, like title screen, like the person's telling him like what's going on. I think that's like the smartest move to do in like any isekai, because it's just like you're in a fantasy world.
Yeah,
here it
is. They kind of split the difference between them being just themselves transported to the world and them being, you know, like overlord. They're like, no, they will kind of unknowingly go through a character selection screen and make what they are.
Yeah, and the best part about that is it gives free rein for the actual world to not be reliant on video game concepts, but at any point in time, he can jump. He has basically a great sage, which is basically an AI.
Yeah,
it's
a journal. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
so he can press pause at any time. Exactly. He can press pause at any time and figure out information, not necessarily to solve problems, but just to sort of like fix things that he should know.
Instead of using, you know, the narrator coming in a very like Hunter x Hunter JoJo way of just being like, an elephant could step on it and it wouldn't break.
Yeah.
like these weird like things. It's just like, nope, it has like something that we as, you know, kind of modern people understand how it would work.
Exactly. If we were playing a video game, like, and we're at a hard part, we'd be like, okay, but like, what is that?
Let me look at the journal.
Let me Google it. So it has a marriage of both concepts. Also, the main character isn't a complete douchebag. Like,
I think the setup is that he wants to make this world a better place. Like, he kind of sets that for himself as a goal.
Yeah, and I mean, what got me excited about even talking with this whole genre and looking into it was the OP, which we still haven't even gotten that deep into for the series.
Yeah.
He is still a slime, but rather in the opening, we see fully expanded characters, we see his crew, we see him taking on different forms, clearly through transformation, all sorts of things. So it's just really exciting to sit there and realize, oh, so... You didn't just use this as a stepping stone to try to, you know, see what's happening. Like, Overlord, I love Overlord, lots of fun, but absolutely it is done by the hip. Mm. Like, there is no, plan.
And it's, you know, it's based on a light novel series.
Exactly.
Which is where a lot of isekai got really popular. They even, last year in the light novel contest entries for, like, so in Japan a lot of times the way you become an author or, like, a mangaka is you enter these contests and you get your story published. Last year, they banned isekai from being able to be an entry to these contests.
Probably from just too many people doing
it. Yeah, too many and arguably too easy.
Yeah, like, yeah. It is.
Since ReZero, it's only been 2 years, so like the amount of anime that we've received within the 2 years, it's just isekai.
You gotta get a really good one like Slime that is pushing what it is. And it just got me really excited because it's the first one that I saw that I can be like, no, I could actually envision... Like, some of these characters just being more than, like, oh, you gotta just watch it, it's fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no, there's a story here. It started from a point that normally shotguns parodies or, like, false starts at this point in the generation.
Well, like, you look at something like Overlord, when it came out, I think it was 2 years ago, the first season came out and it kind of got no way, it made no waves until, like, the next season, and then people finally watched it and everybody was like, oh, we want this, and now you know, they're coming out with season four next.
But
like,
exactly, and the thing with Overlord and the thing with How Not to Summon a Demon Lord and Konosuba, and even Drifters, is they are all definitely working an angle. They aren't building anything inherently. Overlord is just like, okay, well, what if it's Isekai? If we just go dark?
Yeah, and that's the thing with Overlord. Like, right, I think a lot of the appeal both you and I get out of it, and probably Bree as well, is that we watch it and we're kind of there for the fantasy story.
Yeah.
Because we're Westerners and we're like, I have always wanted to just watch an anime about a lich.
Yeah.
I mean, the isekai part is cool and everything, but like,
what happens
I would
next?
Also be there for a straight sword and sorcery lich
exactly.
story.
It is completely abandoning any structure. It's just going, it's like, no, let's just see where this thing is heading. And it's exciting for those reasons, and a couple of the other ones we mentioned are, you know, they're either comedy or an ichi. They've got their angles, which doesn't undermine the series entirely, but it doesn't necessarily give it legs to stand on. Konosuba has two seasons.
Both of them
are good. I definitely recommend seeing them. Is there going to be a third season?
No.
Is it going somewhere? I don't think so.
It's the isekai thing. Like, I mean, these are using fantasy as a crutch, right?
Yeah.
Isekai as a genre, I mean, wholesale, even Sora Online, like, nobody watched Gun Gale Online. Like, the fantasy part of it, to at least us as Westerners, like, is a huge part of kind of the appeal.
Right.
Like, I mean, we would take a just straight fantasy series that was
and
good,
that,
like, no
and
problem.
That is what Slime really feels like. It's a marriage of what we want, just a cool exploration of essentially Kirby running around.
Kind of, yeah.
Like, being able, his flexibility, rather, I mean, he almost has a Luffy feel to him.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And he's goofy, too. I mean, that's the idea. He's a low-level slime that's doing all these things.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of back to what we were saying about, like, you know, isekai is this kind of lens that you can tell all these creative stories for because it creates a limit. I mean, isekai, we're saying is new, but, like, this idea isn't really, so, like, if you look at, like, something
Bleach.
Like Digimon, like,
yeah.
So, like, Digimon, like, it's children transported to the digital world, which is a fantasy world. That is different from, like, something like Bleach, which is a straight fantasy story where, like, yes, in Bleach, he travels to a parallel fantasy world, but, like, in the world of Bleach, both of those worlds exist in parallel in the story itself.
They affect each other.
In Digimon, same kind of thing, like, he goes to a different world that kind of exists in parallel, but they're trying to get back, so it's a little closer to isekai.
Yeah.
Something like Visions of Escaflowne, she's traveling to, like, another dimension and or the moon.
Yeah, even Inuyasha.
And she's trying to get back to Inuyasha, same kind of thing.
They're
in, like, another world, but isekai, again, has a very nuanced kind of difference.
It's self-awareness.
It's self-aware, and there's really typically not an interest in going back or the world interacting with the other. Like, in Digimon, like, the digital world at some point, you know, kind of, like, fuses or overlaps, like, with each other. In ReZero or, like, Overlord, we're not ever
gonna
get
never
that.
Going
to and we're
back.
Not interested in
that. Yeah, that's not why we're watching it. That's not... Because we are living out these characters. Yeah.
We just want to see
power
the new
trips.
Life that they choose to live in this fantasy world.
Yeah, and how their lives before give them an absurd advantage.
And then, like, we've even seen isekai kind of take the opposite route. Where, like, we see, like, the devil is a part-timer.
Oh, yeah.
Where we saw a demon lord from a fantasy world... be turned into a regular person like in the regular world basically you know, he works at McDonald's like,
it's
hilarious and
it's
beautiful
yeah.
Again, like you were saying, though, it's kind of a quick burn, you know.
Oh,
it's kind of like, that's a cool concept, I love it. And then we
kind
of move on
exactly. But the reason Slime got me excited is because we're at the forefront of this genre sort of still bubbling and evolving, and we've gotten, I'm not going to say it's the first solid one, but we're starting to get more and more. I envision a lot more isekai like these now, and it has the potential to bring in a lot of people, both Western and Japanese alike.
All over.
Yeah, I'd love to see an isekai
game.
With a woman. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I'll take a couple more anime with female main characters first, personally, like, in all genres.
But, we're already talking about the, like, isekai has given us, like, all of these crazy new ideas, all these, like, iterations of it. Be nice to get that pretty soon.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
No, that's what we were thinking about it.
Do you guys have a favorite isekai?
Let us know in a comment.
If you do, let us know about it. Let us check it out. If you have any thoughts about isekai or what we said, I'll play with that. Remember, we do these podcasts. They're kind of like long conversations we have about anime topics. Typically not a lot of like cutting or like, you know, like clips inside. But if you like this kind of content, definitely come back, subscribe, like, and we will catch you guys next time.